Well, greetings to all of you in the precious name of Jesus, the one who we gather to worship and the one who we're united in. We be brethren and sisters because of his love in our hearts this morning. It's good to be here with you again. As we were traveling here this week, Brother Lauren called me, and I saw who was calling, and I just about knew what was coming. And I told Lauren, I said, well, our plans are to be here for probably the next 4 weeks or so. We really haven't set a deadline in concrete at all as to when we'll leave. I told Lyndon I'd come down and help him with the fall harvest and the work here, knowing it's a busy time, and so we're anticipating that. Anyhow, getting back to Lauren's call, I said to Lauren, well, I said, why don't you just give me a weekend to settle in here? I just finished having weekend meetings last weekend. I felt like I was about preached out and then wanted just a little time to be here and maybe listen to someone else preach. And our conversation went on. I even forget how it all went, but Lauren indicated that he and Glenn both have been preaching as well and probably feel kind of the same way. I know Glenn's have been traveling and been sharing. And I hadn't looked at the Sunday school lesson at all, I don't think, at that point yet. Forget if it was that evening or the next evening. My wife and I were sitting in our camper and I was looking at the Sunday school lesson. And I said, it's an interesting Sunday school lesson. In fact, I just preached a message last Sunday. I was assigned a message in the Bible conference that I was a part of. I said, would actually just blend very well and just go right with the Sunday school lesson this morning. I said, maybe I should call Lauren back and tell him that I would preach this Sunday and share the message that I preached last Sunday. Well, my wife's comment was, she said, I'm sure that he probably would be glad to hear from you and he probably wouldn't refuse that at all. So while the Spirit was working, I called Lauren back and I said, I'd preach this Sunday if you want me to. So I'm giving you that this morning because the message is that I plan to share is a part of, it's a follow-up of the Sunday school lesson this morning. And it's a message that, well, let me say it like this. I don't want you to sit here this morning and think that I come to you with this message because I feel like you as a congregation need this message. But having said that, I'm going to say something else. I believe that the message that I'm about to share with you this morning is needed at Sunshine. I believe that we all need this message this morning. We needed that Sunday school lesson this morning because it's something that is within our hearts. It's within my heart this morning. Brother Gene had a devotion this morning and he admitted that what he was on his heart was a part of his experience already. It's all linked together this morning. Our hearts are deceitful, the Bible tells us, and who can know them? We cannot even trust our own hearts, as it were, this morning, because we know that within us is an evil nature that wants our attention, wants our allegiance, and wants to somehow trip us up in life and get us to follow the enemy of our soul. He's there, and he wants our attention. It was like that in Jesus' day. It was like that in the disciples' day. Jesus addressed the disciples. The scribes and the Pharisees were taken up with this very thing. You may open your Bibles for the text verse this morning to Luke chapter 12. I'm going to read the first three verses. The text is found in verse 1 of Luke chapter 12. The message of the title, the title of the message this morning is beware of the leaven of the hypocrisy. I want to say the leaven of the Pharisees because that is what the verse says, but it says which is hypocrisy. Luke 12, verse 1. In the meantime, when there were gathered together an innumerable multitude of people, insomuch that they trode one upon another, he began to say unto his disciples first of all. He addressed the disciples first of all, and he told his disciples, he said, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. And so this morning we want to talk about hypocrisy. Now, what is hypocrisy? Boys and girls that are among us this morning, are you ever tempted to make other boys and girls believe something that's really not so? Just because you want to be kind of big. You want others to think you're a big person and you have life put together and maybe you're just a little smarter than what other people are. And so you kind of puff things up. You blow a story up about yourself. That's what hypocrisy is. It's a big word that we use, but that's what hypocrisy is. In fact, hypocrisy is something that we are not and have really no intention of being. We pretend to be something that is really not the true who we really truly are. Now, let's read on here. Jesus had more to say to the disciples about this. He said in verse 2, he said, for there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, neither hid that shall not be known. Therefore, whatsoever ye have spoken in darkness shall be heard in the light, and that which ye have spoken in the ear in the closet shall be proclaimed upon the housetops. Jesus said, you can pretend all you want to. You can be as much of a hypocrite as you want to, but it's only going to last so long. Sometime it's going to be revealed. The very things that we have thought and said and spoken, even though it was just a whisper, we might say, behind closed doors in the closet, it's going to be proclaimed across the housetop someday. Someday it's going to be like a herald that sounds forth, and the very thing that we thought was hidden and that was only known to maybe a few people or whatever is going to be proclaimed to all. And so it tells us the seriousness of it. Now, Jesus was saying that the Pharisees were guilty of this. He says, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. In this case, with the Pharisees, it was trying to, and we're going to look at some of this, but it was trying to appear good and very interested in religious matters, when in reality, their heart was not in it. Their heart was far from God. There's a possibility this morning that there's someone here that is acting like they're really interested in what's happening here this morning, in this service, in religious matters. But our hearts are far from God. Our hearts are really not truly into worship this morning, like Brother Glenn talked about. You see, what the Pharisees were doing, they wanted to look good. They wanted people to think well of them. And they've done this in so many different ways, and in a moment we're going to look at some of that. They sought the praise of people more than the idea that they wanted God's blessing and God's the truth with God so that God can bless them. They cared more about what people thought about them. Are you ever tempted to do that? Do we ever act in that way? You see, it's native to us is what it is. Now, there's something else that's taking place here that I want us to notice in the outstart of this message. The title says, beware of the leaven of hypocrisy, the leaven of pretense. So what is leaven? Well, our sisters use leaven sometimes. We don't call it leaven. But when our sisters bake, they use baking powder or yeast to produce that gas that lightens that batter that they're working with, the dough that they're working with, that lightens it up. And it, what does it do to it? It swells it up, right? It puffs it up. It expands. And so Jesus is saying, beware of the leaven of hypocrisy. So this adds another dimension to this in my mind, so that when there is hypocrisy among us, hypocrisy apparently has a way of affecting other people. As it happens, as people promote hypocrisy, it modifies and it puffs up just like that batter does. It lightens. In other words, it's not looked at as serious, maybe, as what it is. And I think that that can be the case. And that's why we need to think about a subject like this morning. Because in the eyes of God, this is serious. This is why Jesus said, beware, take heed, watch out. Make sure that this does not happen in your life, or that the effects of hypocrisy among you does not spread and mushroom, as it were, and have a group effect where we all start being lifted up and puffed up. It can happen. It has happened where people have been cynical, like our brother was talking about this morning. And because they were that way, it affected others. And it mushroomed. It went on. It's the leaven of hypocrisy. And it's a dangerous thing to have in any group, in any church setting, in any family, anywhere. Well, how does all this happen? That's an introduction to what hypocrisy is. But how does it all happen? How did it happen? Let's go back to chapter 11. And I'd like to go back to verse 33 first of all. This is a few verses prior to what the hypocrisy of the Pharisees was and what Jesus had to say. But in verse 33 of chapter 11, Jesus said this. He said, "No man, when he hath lighted a candle, putteth it in a secret place, neither under a bushel, but on a candlestick, that they which come in may see the light." Jesus is saying that when you truly have the life of Christ, when you truly have the light of Jesus in your heart, he's going to say that men will see that. Men will observe. Men will know. You cannot hide it. And we don't want to hide it. We shouldn't try to hide it. We don't want to hide it. But he connects verse 34, right, with this, where he says, "The light of the body is the eye." We know that the light is Christ. The life is Christ in us. The light, however you want to say it. But I believe this morning that our eye then represents spiritual understanding and insight. As we know better, and as we observe, and as we look. And he says, "Therefore, when thine eye is single, that the whole body is full of light." In other words, when our focus is on the Lord Jesus, and this came out in the Sunday school lesson this morning, when our focus is on the things that interest God and that God wants, when we have a single eye, then we will follow the things of God. And I believe we can safely say that we won't live a hypocritical life, a life of pretense, because that single eye is on the things of God and loves the things God wants, and our even our worship is going to show that. But he says, if you lose sight of God, putting it in my own words, or he says, Jesus says here, when the eye is evil, I believe that's what happens when we lose sight of God. We get, the devil wants his way in our hearts and in our lives. Then he says the body ends up being full of darkness. What Jesus is saying here is then we start living this life of deceit, this life of what he calls a hypocrite. It was the leaven of the Pharisees. You see, evil desires make our eyes less sensitive and blot out the light of Christ's presence is what happens. And when that happens, other things start happening. Now, I would like to say that underneath all religious hypocrisy is idolatry. We need to know that. We need to understand that this morning. When we start pretending there is something else that takes place here, we start worshiping ourselves, promoting our agendas, promoting other things in the place of God, and it becomes idolatry. And we know what God thinks of idolatry. The Bible is full of warning. When we start worshiping some desire that is greater than God, and we want to worship that desire while looking good, or acting or pretending that we're worshiping God, that, dear friends, is the heart of hypocrisy. That's the heart of hypocrisy, is what it is. And that's exactly what the Pharisees were doing. Let's look at what Jesus was saying the Pharisees were doing. Just a few things we're quickly going to pull out of chapter 11. But look at verse 40. In verse 40 through verse 42, the Pharisees loved to think of themselves as clean. But Jesus said that their stinginess towards God and the poor proved that they were not as pure or as clean as what they thought they were. In verse 40, he says this to him. He says, "Ye fools, did not he that made that which is without also make that which is within? But rather give alms of such things as ye have. And behold, all things are will be clean unto you," is what he's saying, "are clean unto you. But woe unto you, Pharisees, for ye tithe mint and rue and all manner of herbs, and pass over judgment and the love of God. These ought ye to have done and not leave the other undone." Jesus was saying they were doing good. They were giving. They were giving alms. They were giving the things that they had. They were helping others. And Jesus was saying that that's not wrong in itself. But the reason they were doing this was to cover up or to make themselves look good. And he said they passed over judgment, which I believe is another way of saying they passed over other things that they should have been done, like having true compassion and touching the hearts and lives of other people and walking with them in their journeys and so on. In other words, they passed over things that were true and honest and good and covered it up by their giving. And even their love to God was not there. It was not what it should have been, is what he's saying here. And so they loved to think and present themselves as a people that were really good people. We're doing good things. We're great. We're clean. We're fine. But their love and their heart to God wasn't what it should have been. Neither were their relationships among each other what they should have been. And they didn't really care about their relationships as long as people blessed them for the giving they were doing and for what looked good on the surface. In verse 44, Jesus addressed another thing. The Old Testament law said that a person who touched a dead body or a grave was unclean. We understand that. We could go back to Numbers. We're not going to take the time to do that. But this is what they were brought up in and what they were taught. And in verse 44, Jesus addresses this by saying, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees," and he calls them hypocrites. "For ye are as graves which appear not, and the men that walk over them are not aware of them." You are like those graves that made you unclean when you got in contact with them, or the dead bodies, they were considered unclean. He said your lives are like this. He said you are like graves that contaminate others that get in contact with you. what Jesus was saying that was that the Pharisees were making others, they were first of all unclean themselves, they by their spiritual rottenness, I'm going to call it, by their deceit, by what really wasn't the way it was. And he said they were making other people unclean, people that got in contact with them. They were like graves hidden. People didn't realize the corruption and the real heart that was in there. And then they became corrupted. This really was how their hypocrisy then, I believe, was like leaven. It spread. It puffed up. It blossomed out, and it affected other people's lives, and so it was like leaven. We go on to verse 46, and Jesus addresses another group among them. He says, "Woe unto you also, ye lawyers, for ye lead men with burdens grievous to be borne, and ye yourselves touch not the burdens with one of your fingers." Jesus told the lawyers that they were adding details to the law. And we know that the scribes and the Pharisees did that. They laid detail upon detail to a law that was established. And it became a burden. You didn't know there were so many laws. I've studied into that already, but I forget. It was law upon law upon law upon law to the point where you couldn't begin to remember. And they were to observe these things, and they promoted this, and they said you have to do this, and it became a burden. But the people that were putting the law in place didn't even keep them themselves. They didn't observe the laws themselves. They didn't as much as lift up a finger, he's saying. And yet they were telling other people, this is what you have to do. And I believe it comes right in contact to this cynical spirit that our brother was talking right in with, this cynical attitude. That's what a cynical attitude will do. It will require of others what it's not willing to do themselves. And that's what they were doing here. Jesus had some strong language and a strong rebuke. He called the Pharisees hypocrites. "You're hypocrites," he said, "because they worshiped and held their traditions closer to their hearts than to God." We need to be careful with that today too. Traditions are good. Traditions have their place. But we need to be careful that we don't carry traditions closer in heart than we do the real things of God. You see, their worship was not motivated by love to God, but it was a desire to profit for themselves. It was a desire to appear holy and maybe an increased status. Does that sound native to us? Does that sound like what we want to do? Is that what we see sometimes in the lives of even children? What did Jesus say about this? Jesus said, "This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me." In the end, he will say, "Depart from me. I never knew you," is what he's going to tell these people. Well, the future of this hypocrisy is that it is all going to be revealed, just like I read in verse 2 and verse 3. The day will come when the hypocrite will no longer pull the wool over other people's eyes. The real truth about the real matters, no matter how you painted it, no matter how you made it look, no matter how you made your brothers look in church life, the real truth will be revealed. It will come out. The hypocrite and his ways and his attitudes will be revealed. I have about 5 practical points. I'm going to leave this story. It's just a little bit of background. Why Jesus said, "Beware of the leaven of hypocrisy." I have about 5 practical points I'd like to share. Number 1 is hypocrisy deals with the problem of sin by playing it down. When we are a hypocrite, when we are hypocritical, when we have hypocrisy in our lives, the real judgment, the real truth is downplayed, and it becomes sin, but we keep on playing it down, and we keep on pretending, and we keep on covering it up, is what we do. And I want you to open your Bibles. Let's go back. I want to use an Old Testament account, illustration of this very thing. I'd like for you to go back with me to Genesis chapter 37, and we have the story of Joseph. When he went out to meet his brothers, were out in that far country taking care of the sheep, and Joseph's father asked him to go out and check up on his brothers and bring a report back. And we know that story. And in Genesis chapter 37, we'll just break in. We're not going to read all this. But in verse 18, it tells us this was his brothers. And here comes Joseph across the countryside. And they saw him coming. And when they saw him afar off, it says in verse 18, even before he came near unto them, they conspired against him to slay him. And they said one to another, behold, this dreamer cometh. Come now, therefore, and let us slay him, and cast him in some pit, and we will say, some evil beast has devoured him, and we shall see what will become of his dreams. Well, Reuben's here, the oldest brother. Reuben feels responsible, and Reuben hears what his brothers are saying, and Reuben's mind starts coming up with a plan. And Reuben heard it says in verse 21, and he delivered him out of their hands and said, let's not kill him. Reuben said, let's not shed blood, but cast him in this pit over here, and lay no hand upon him. And get the next phrase in verse 22, that he might rid him out of their hands to deliver him to his father again. Reuben's plan was, let's not kill him. But he knew his brothers were probably brothers that he really couldn't convince any different from their plan. Let's just put him in the pit here. And Reuben in his mind was saying, when my brothers move on with the sheep here, somehow I'm going to return and I'm going to come back here and I'll get Joseph out of the pit. And I'll tell him, hey, look, we're all doing okay. Just go back home and give Dad a good report of us. And he was going to deliver him. I'm just surmising what Reuben probably was thinking in his mind. Well, we know the story. We're not going to take the time to read the whole story. So the brothers did move on. And Reuben finds his opportunity to go back to the pit. And what happens when he comes back to the pit and his brother is not there? Well, one of the things that I see in this story here is that hypocrisy ends up paying more attention to reputation than character. Now, reputation is what people think you are. Character is what you really are in your heart, or what God knows you to be. And so Reuben was more worried about his reputation than what he was. Look at verse 30 of chapter 37. Here Reuben comes back. And he returned unto his brethren. Okay, Reuben, the verse before 29, and Reuben returned unto the pit, and behold, Joseph was not in the pit, and he rent his cloth. And he goes back to his brethren, and he says, this child is not, and I, whither shall I, what shall I do? Reuben was more worried about himself all of a sudden than he was about what actually happened to Joseph. The child's not. But what about me? What about my accountability to Dad? What am I going to do? His plan that he had formulated in his head was not working out. And so Reuben became more worried about his own reputation and about the sin that was committed, actually, is what I gather from this. And in verse 31, it says, and they took Joseph's coat and killed a kid of the goats and dipped the coat in the blood. And we know the story. They send it back to their dad. And he said, hey, this is what happened. Look what happened. Look what took place. Joseph was killed. Apparently a wild animal got him. He is no longer. And yet they knew they had sold him, and they probably didn't really know where Joseph was and what he was experiencing by now, but they knew that what they were telling Dad was not true. And so they were acting the lie. From this, I also take that hypocrisy has people make decisions that they never thought they'd make, because they keep on trying. Now they get themselves, they have started acting at what a pretend, not the real thing in life, and they need to somehow keep on covering this up. And so they make decisions that they never thought they'd make. They keep on trying to cover up. A hypocrite is going to go to great lengths to cover up his sin, and we see that in this story. One of the things that the person who is taken up with a hypocritical spirit, that is taken up in hypocrisy, does not understand is how serious and how pervasive sin is. Pervasive has the idea of leaven again. That's why I use that word, because it has the idea of filtering in and through us, embodying in us. In other words, it affects every part, and after a while it just has us consumed, for lack of better words to explain it. We're just, we don't even understand ourselves anymore. We don't see how it has affected us to the point where other people, they can see it and they observe and they say, what in the world is wrong? I mean, can't they see themselves and the decisions they're making and how it really appears? No, they can't, because they're consumed with it and they don't understand themselves anymore. It's the work of leaven. It's why Jesus said, beware the leaven of this, because this is what happens. A very dangerous place to allow ourselves to get into. And so, hypocrisy deals with the problem of sin by playing it down. We keep excusing ourselves. We keep telling ourselves, no, it's not me, it's others. Our brother showed us the answer, the remedy to this morning. Number two, the second main point I want to make this morning is hypocrisy tries to keep one's appearance good. We want to look good on the outside, when really the problem is us and in our inside life. Our private world, our private lives are really corrupt. No, we would never admit that. We don't want to admit that. We want to somehow appear good on the outside. That's exactly what Reuben and his brothers did. If you're still in Genesis 37, look at what happened in verse 35. So they took the coat back to their father. They had dipped it in blood, and they told their father that some wild beast has consumed him. And the father, of course, was grieved about this, and it says in verse 35, and all his sons and all his daughters rose up to comfort him, but he refused to be comforted and said, for I will go down into the grave unto my son mourning. Thus his father wept for him. His father truly believed that Joseph was now dead. And all his sons, it says, and all his daughters, all his sons sat there trying to comfort him. Reuben was there too. Reuben was there trying to comfort his father. You see, they were appearing like they knew nothing about it. They were appearing like all was well on their part. They were not guilty of any of this. Oh, Dad, we're so sorry, and we're here trying to comfort them. Inside, they were full of dead men's. They were like the graves. They were corrupt. Their private world was a corrupt world. Jesus said this in Matthew 23, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye make clean the outside of the cup and of the platter, but within are full of extortion and excess. First clean that which is within the cup and the platter, that the outside of them may be clean also. Extortion means, and excess means, greed and self-indulgence. It's all about me, looking good to everybody else. Hypocrisy tries to keep us covering up while we have a private world going on within us. Thirdly, hypocrisy desires that we emphasize our own virtues, but others' faults. This is something that we are so prone to do in our lives. We look down on others and we see their faults and we see their mistakes. We see their shortcomings. And we put everything into that we can in trying to put them down even further for what we see in them. While our own lives really are not any different. But we will lift up our virtues. We won't talk about the things that we know aren't the way it should be in our lives. Turn with me to Luke chapter 18. We have the account here of two individuals that responded differently. Luke chapter 18 and verse 10 tells us, two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee, the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, and even as this publican right here. I fast twice in the week. I give tithe of all that I possess. Look how good I am. This is me. But over here is the other fellow, and he's way down here. Boy, I'm sure glad I'm not like he is. I mean, here's his list of things. But then the publican comes along, and the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up as much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote himself on his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Are you a Pharisee this morning, or are you a publican this morning? Are you humbling yourself before Almighty God and admitting that you are not what you pretend to be sometimes? And God, I need mercy. I need the blood of Jesus to cover my sins this morning, to cleanse me, to make me what I really want to be, and I'm not. Or are you the person that's saying, boy, I'm sure glad I'm not like others. Look what I'm doing. Look who I am. Truth is this morning, dear friend, God knows who you are. God sees right through you. You're not going to fool God. The day is going to come and it's going to be proclaimed upon the housetop. How much better it would be to admit it today, that this is what's taking place in my heart. Think of the embarrassment it's going to be someday in the future when God reveals who you and I really are. Hypocrisy tries to keep up one's appearance while our private world is corrupt. Number three, hypocrisy desires that Hypocrisy desires that we emphasize our own virtues and others' faults. Let's turn back to Matthew chapter 7. Our brother gave us a remedy for this, and I don't want to leave this morning without doing the same for us. In Matthew chapter 7. The first five verses say this. Jesus said, judge not that ye be not judged. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. And with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? How wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. Jesus said, take care of your own house first. Take care of your own heart first. Take care of your own attitude first. Look at your own corrupt world, your own corrupt life, and respond and take care of it first. And then only are you going to have that single eye, that eye that's focused on Jesus that I talked about first. And maybe then you'll be able to help someone else. But until then, you're not even fit to consider to help other people. And don't judge other people, because, again, it's going to come back to judge you the way you judged other people. Fourthly, the hypocrisy of the Pharisees kept them carefully following certain religious practices while their hearts were distant from God. Now, the Apostle Paul in Colossians chapter 2 and verse 8 gives us a warning against any philosophy based on human ideas and experience. He says this, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit after the rudiments of the world and not after Christ. What Paul was saying there is, beware lest any man's teaching that credits human reasoning, that gives humanistic ideas in place of Christ, for the answers to life, to the answers to the things that you face in life. He says, if you follow them and not after the teachings of Christ, you don't go after the Bible, in other words, after the scripture, after the things that Christ says, if you don't feel like the things that you're hearing here is important and you don't really do this, and you follow the things that man promotes, it becomes a false religion. It becomes a false idea. It becomes a false way of life. And so we need to be careful at what, in so many areas of life, we need to be careful of the things that we follow and the reasoning that we put behind it. If it's not based on the Word of God and it doesn't line up with God's Word, it's not from God. It's from a humanistic source somewhere. And we put it out and we don't build on it. But this is exactly what the Pharisees were doing. They kept following certain things, certain teachings, certain religious practices, and it kept their hearts far from God. We live in a world today who's promoting a lot of things. We run into false teachings a lot, false ideas a lot. And it takes wisdom, it takes understanding, it takes knowing what the will of God is for our lives. And the way we know that is by studying the Word of God and being familiar with the Word of God. You know, it's a little bit like that bank teller that knows what real money is, and they don't have to look very long. We hear that different times, you know. They can feel, they know what the real thing is. Dear friends, this morning, it's why we need to encourage each other. It's why we need to study the Bible. It's why we need to have word studies like we had for devotions this morning. It's why we need to be interested in the things of God so that we know what is right and good and well, and we can discern humanistic ideas. That's a subject in itself. We could talk a lot more about that, but that's what was happening here with the scribes and the Pharisees. And Jesus said that they're being hypocrites. It's hypocrisy. Number five, and the last point I want to think about this morning, and I already alluded to this, but I want to think about the failure of hypocrisy, I'm going to call it. Hypocrisy is going to end up in failure. In fact, hypocrisy will let you down when you need it the most. Think about that. You try to cover up, and you try to cover up, and you try to make other people believe this is me. And we go to great lengths. We looked at some of that, just like Joseph's brothers did, went to great lengths to do that. But you know what? The day came when it was all revealed. Joseph's brothers found themselves in need. And all of a sudden, they needed to go to the very man that they hated so bad for the supply of what they needed at the moment. They didn't know who he was right away, but after a while, he revealed to them who he was. And you know what happened? There's a real fear settled into their hearts. All of a sudden, this little dreamer here was a fearful thing to them instead of just being that little brother that was just... And then the day came that Dad passed away yet. And if we would go back there to the last chapter of Genesis, you would see that those brothers then had a conversation among themselves and they said, now what? He dealt with us good to this point, but Dad was still here. And that's probably why he was dealing good with us. But now Dad's gone. Now he's probably going to level out with us, was what they were saying. There was a real fear in their hearts. You see, hypocrisy is going to let you down when you need it the most. Luke chapter 12 told us that there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, neither hid that shall not be known. It's all going to be brought out of the closets, proclaimed upon the housetops. Hypocrisy lets you down when you need it the most. There will be no secrets. There will be no secrets. In closing, turn back to Matthew chapter 3. And I want you to notice verse 7 through verse 10. It says in verse 7, But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism. This was Jesus. He wasn't speaking here. But when Jesus saw many of the Pharisees and the Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? In other words, who told you that there's going to be payday coming? Bring forth therefore fruit, meat for repentance. And think not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. But now also the axe is laid to the roots of the trees. Therefore every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. But he that cometh after me, who is mightier, I'm sorry, I said this was Jesus, this was actually John the Baptist, who it was, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear, he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. That is what God does. But the point I want to make from these verses is that God wants fruit from our lives. He's looking for fruit. The question this morning is, what kind of fruit is he getting from you? What kind of life is he getting from you? Is he getting the fruit that he wants from us? This subject was very dear, very near to the heart of Jesus, because Jesus knew how corrupt the heart is. And this morning, this warning is here for us. It's a solemn warning that we need to take heed to. And think about it seriously, because Jesus says, woe unto you. Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. Let's kneel for prayer.